Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Dan Thompson coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been covering a series of news stories in the first hour of the show this morning, and I had one caller that I was going to take, and then he dropped off. If he calls back, I'll certainly try to get him on the show. And then Mark Glenn will be with us in about an hour from now to discuss some of the latest things that are going on with Mark and with the American Free Press. It should be a fun time. And I also mentioned what I mentioned just before the last commercial break, and that is that we are in the middle of a fund drive at RBN. You can give us a call at 1-800-724-2719. Contact us at www.republicbroadcasting.org, or use our regular mailing address as well if that helps you. Republic Broadcasting Network, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Getting back to something I was talking about before the last commercial break, there is a statement made in this Jewish Daily Forward article on John Hagee, posted today by Rebecca Spence. It's entitled, "As Evangelical Firebrand Hooks Up with Federations, Liberals Speak Out." There is something at the very bottom of this piece coming to us from a left-wing Jewish person, Daniel Skokach, who is the executive director of the L.A.-based Progressive Jewish Alliance. He says something that is very, very truthful, and he's saying it to his own far-left constituency. If we turn around for a minute what Daniel has said, it should apply to those of us on the populist right as well, and the real Christian right in America, the real Christian right. Let me read his statement. Daniel Skokach, the executive director of the L.A.-based Progressive Jewish Alliance, says as follows, quote, "To get in bed with the hard Christian right on Israel is a dangerous path. This is a hard-driving, extremely smart and successful movement to essentially recast the U.S. as a Christian nation, and if Jews don't think that empowering that group in American foreign policy isn't part and parcel of empowering that group on domestic policy, they're wrong," unquote. Very interesting perspective from Daniel Skokach, because the other side of the coin is this. We could say the same thing to the Christian right in this country. It is a dangerous pathway to get into bed with the Jewish lobby. And if we think for one minute that empowering them in foreign policy isn't part and parcel of empowering them in domestic American policy, we're wrong. Get it, folks? This is an alliance that is contradictory to such an extent that it cannot possibly hold any intellectual, moral, spiritual, or theological consistency whatsoever. And that's a point that needs to be emphasized in the days ahead. Mr. Daniel Skokach, the executive director of the LA-based Progressive Jewish Alliance, is certainly emphasizing truth in a different sort of way to his own left-wing Bolshevist community today. As he indicates such to the Jewish Daily Forward, we need to emphasize the same thing to those who truly love America first and who truly love Jesus Christ first and above America. And that is that this alliance between the so-called Christian right and the Jewish lobby is simply not going to hold water. Let's talk about that many, many times in the days ahead, because those inconsistencies need to be pointed out. One of the other things I wanted to mention in this Jewish Daily Forward article is this. Rebecca Spence makes reference to the fact that John Hagee has a literal interpretation of the scriptures that is not supported by these liberal Jews. Folks, a literal interpretation of the scriptures, one that would take seriously the words of Jesus Christ and Paul and Peter and the Apostle John, would refute the theology of John Hagee on Israel and on the Jewish lobby. We'll cover that just a little bit when we come back, and then take a look at a news story on 9/11. This is Mark Dankost, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com. Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
We're back. This is Mark Ancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mark Glenn of the American Free Press and Crescent and Cross will be with us at right around 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time, to talk about some of the key news stories of this last week and to chat a little bit about some of the guests I've had on this show in the last 5 or 6 days. And that's always a fun time with Mark. You know, I was talking with him on the telephone yesterday, and we were speaking about Michael Collins Piper and Willis Carto and some of the other real giants that write for the American Free Press. And we were talking, Mark and I were, about this whole question of discouragement. You know, it's very difficult at one level, isn't it, not to be discouraged when you see the incredible demonic power that operates in, with, and through the human evil that we are presently witnessing before our very eyes. And yet, as we think about that, and of course, the Apostle Paul is speaking the truth when he mentions in Ephesians chapter 6 that we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. We're dealing with powers. We're dealing with principalities. We're dealing with spiritual wickedness in high places. Having said all of that, of course, I think Paul and Peter and John and the other apostles would certainly affirm that ultimately our hope is above and beyond all of these dreadful things. Our hope is in the biblical God and in his son, Jesus Christ, for those of us who represent Christian theism, of course. The point being that even though it looks like evil is winning, faith, according to what Martin Luther has talked about, is the Holy Spirit's generated ability in each of us. We can't do it on our own, but the Holy Spirit's generated ability that enables us to affirm that God is in control, even when all of the events of history seem to suggest that he isn't. It's important to know that he is, and it's important to know that good and not evil will ultimately win at the end of history. Between now and that time, however, we're going to see an exponential increase in the manifestations of the demonic in world history. And I would suggest that what is being talked about today by Rebecca Spence at the Jewish Daily Forward on Pastor John Hagee is an example of this, biblically speaking. You know, again, I want to hit on this just because it is important, folks, because it's a lie that's being repeated over and over again, in some cases by well-meaning people, who say that Mr. Hagee's position is the result of taking Scripture literally, the Old and the New Testament. Folks, what John Hagee is doing is he is applying an interpretive scheme to Scripture that did not even exist before the first third of the 19th century through John Nelson Darby, the Plymouth Brethren, who received information about this view of interpreting Scripture from Margaret MacDonald, a Scottish prophetess, folks, a Scottish prophetess who was in a state of ecstasy, some would say lunacy, when she blurted out a series of things to John Nelson Darby that he later systematized into what we know today as the dispensational version of premillennialism, at least the mainstream version of dispensational premillennialism. This is a point of view that has nothing to do with the Protestant reformers or any of the great theologians of the Roman Catholic Church historically. And as we look at what it was later put into, of course, even more systematized form in the Cyrus Schofield Reference Bible that was financed by the Rothschilds. Michael Collins Piper talks about this in his book, The Judas Goats. The Oxford University Press, which financed the publication of the Schofield Reference Bible, was a Rothschild-owned, Rothschild-inspired operation. And the Jews understood very, very clearly that the dissemination of the theological interpretation of Bible prophecy through Cyrus Schofield and through John Nelson Darby would in fact bring the so-called Christian church of today, which has lost its salt, to a point where it would do anything necessary to get its daily bread, so to speak, from the central bankers and from modern news media moguls. And from those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. What is Jesus talking about to the Apostle John there, folks, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, in this warning to the church at Smyrna? If John Hagee takes an inerrant literal scripture seriously, particularly the last 27 books of the Bible, the New Testament, you might want to read what it has to say there in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. As well as in the 23rd and 27th chapters of the book of Matthew, as well as the entirety of the Gospel of John. We could talk about Galatians 3:28 this morning. We could talk about 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, or a plethora of other verses that absolutely are woven throughout the main central core body of the New Testament corpus, which show that Mr. Hagee's biblical interpretation is absolutely unsustainable in terms of a literal high view of Scripture. He's wrong in the covenants. He's wrong in the parenthesis theory when it comes to the ninth chapter of the book of Daniel. He's wrong about the nature of the kingdom of God. He is wrong when it comes to understanding the nature of the conspiracy that was aligned against Jesus Christ, as that is reported upon in the Gospels. He is wrong in terms of failing to understand the core significance of why the Babylonian exile did take place, biblically speaking, in 586 B.C., why the Romans destroyed the Jewish temple in Jerusalem in alliance with the Seleucids in A.D. 70. He doesn't seem to get any of that, up to and including this very dire, ominous prophetic warning in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. Beware of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. What does that mean, Mr. Hagee, in terms of your literal, inerrant understanding of Scripture? Who and what do you believe to be the beast that is referred to in Revelation chapter 13, and who is his false prophet? You know, I want to ask Mark Glenn for his take on this at 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time. But as I was reading Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's book, The Synagogue of Satan, The Secret History of Jewish World Domination, he points out something that is most fascinating to me, and that I am learning it for the first time and plan on doing some additional research on this fact, as well as many other things that are mentioned here in this book. But he mentioned something that happened in 1744. On February the 23rd in 1744, Meyer Amschel Bauer, an Ashkenazic Jew, is born in Frankfurt, Germany, the son of Moses Amschel Bauer, a moneylender and the proprietor of a counting house. And I think it's appropriate to underscore the fact that Meyer Amschel Bauer at some point would change his name to Rothschild. I trust that that last name means more to you than the former name. But suffice it to say that Moses Amschel Bauer, in 1744, placed a red sign above the entrance door to his counting house. This sign is a red hexagram. Listen to this very, very carefully. This sign is a red hexagram, which under Rothschild instruction will end up on the Israeli flag some two centuries later. And if you look at this red hexagram, it's very, very fascinating to see that in fact, in terms of its lines and its triangles, geometrically and numerically translates into the number 666. Isn't that interesting? You have two triangles transposed upon one another, and when you do that, you end up with 6 points, 6 lines, and 6 internal triangles, 666. And in this particular instance, when Bauer, meaning Meyer Amschel Bauer, changed his name from Bauer to Rothschild while residing in Frankfurt, Germany, he in fact utilized this sign, this red hexagram, over his entrance door to his office. Rothschild, Rot, is German for red. Schild is German for shield or sign. Hence the idea of red shield or red sign. And when you think about it again, those triangles transposed upon one another, both in terms of points as well as lines as well as triangles, geometrically and numerically translate into the number 666. What do you make of this? I find this to be a highly interesting discussion in regard to the history of this whole thing. And at a later point in the Synagogue of Satan, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock does discuss a little bit about the circumstances which caused this to be adopted as the official symbol of the Zionist State of Israel. And at that particular point, we can also get into the discussion of the blue border above and below this six-sided hexagram. That blue border, according to Mr. Hitchcock, represents the borders of the Nile and the Euphrates rivers. In other words, what was perceived by world Zionism to be the true boundaries of Greater Israel, or Eretz Yisrael, as that is understood by the insiders in the Zionist community. So between the whole issue of this geometric and numerical translation of this red hexagram, which of course was made blue when it was utilized for the Israeli flag emblem, it geometrically and numerically translates into the number 666. Some two centuries after it was initially adopted by the Rothschilds, it becomes the official emblem of Israel, with the addition of a blue border above it and below it. And this blue border, according to Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, represents the whole area of that region, not simply Palestine understood narrowly, but the whole area from the Nile to the Euphrates River. Wonder what Mr. Hagee might think of that. This is Mark Gantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Mark Glenn at 9 a.m. Central. Stay tuned.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
We're back. This is Mark Anpos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mark Glenn of the American Free Press and Crescent and Cross will be with us at right around 9 o'clock this morning to talk about some of the significant news stories of the day and the week. I also want to chat with Mark a little bit about his continuing series on the USS Liberty for AFP, which, of course, is doing a great public international service to those who have been unaware up to this point of what was actually going on with that situation on June the 8th, 1967. And Mark is in the forefront of continuing to try and uncover the truth on this. We know partial truth about it, but there's a lot more to this that is still being uncovered. And the book by Peter Hunan entitled Operation Cyanide, I think, is but another step in the process to get at the bottom of what the Israelis were up to in 1967, when they engaged in this deliberate attack upon this American vessel. But maybe we'll never know the truth. We'll have to wait and see whether we learn any more of it this side of eternity. But suffice it to say that this is a most important aspect of journalism, to try and uncover the real story behind the scenes that is routinely covered up by a Zionist corporate news media. That's what Mark Len is all about. That's what Willis Carto is all about. That's what Michael Collins Piper is all about at the American Free Press, and Mark Anderson and some of the other fine people who write for that publication. We need to support them to the extent that we can, even as we ask you to support the Republic Broadcasting Network. This is the beginning of our pledge drive, and as I've mentioned before, you can contact us at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. You can contact us on the World Wide Web at www.republicbroadcasting.org. That's republicbroadcasting.org. Or send us something through U.S. Mail, which you can do through the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our physical address is 1015 South Mays. 1015 South Mays, spelled just like Willie Mays. 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You know, getting into this whole business again of the Israeli flag, this will be a curious topic for conversation with Mark Len at 9 o'clock this morning, and also for ongoing research in this whole area. If you go again to Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's book, The Synagogue of Satan, he emphasizes this going all the way back to this fateful time in the at the end of the 18th century, when the Rothschilds adopted this red hexagram as their personal emblem, their personal seal, and it was put above the door of their the entrance to their operation. And of course, Rot is German for red, Schild is German for shield or sign. And again, looking at the red hexagram of Moses Amschel Bauer that was subsequently adopted by his son, Meyer Amschel Bauer, who became Meyer Amschel Rothschild, we see that, by George, that red hexagram does geometrically and numerically translate into the number 666. And then if we move ahead in the volume to what is discussed by Mr. Hitchcock in the 1947-1948 context, he goes on to say not only that the blue border at the top and bottom of the Israeli flag and truly does represent the Nile and Euphrates rivers, indicating the true geographic designs of Zionism as far as the Middle East is concerned, but also the use of the Rothschild hexagram in his judgment is deliberately being disguised when the Rothschild-oriented news media refers to it as a Star of David. Has nothing to do with David. It has everything to do with the 666 hexagram adopted by Moses Amschel Bauer and subsequently by his son, who became Meyer Amschel Rothschild. Fascinating topic. And Hitchcock goes on to say that the hexagram was used in the ancient mystery religions as the symbol of Molech, described as a demon of unwilling sacrifice, and also, interestingly enough, the name of the stone owl the elite worship at Bohemian Grove. He also references this hexagram to Astaroth, described as the Lord Treasurer of Hell. And he underscores once again that due to the fact that it's made up of six lines, has six triangular sectors and six points, it is commonly regarded as a symbol of Satan. Hitchcock goes on to say that, interestingly enough, the hexagram is also used to represent Saturn, which has been identified as the esoteric name for Satan. Would this not indicate that anyone killed in the name of Israel is actually a sacrifice to their god, Satan? Furthermore, the Jewish Sabbath is on Saturday, which was originally known as Saturn's Day. I don't know how strong an argument that happens to be, but nonetheless it's there, and it's worth thinking about. And when we look again at the hexagram, it is undeniable that in regard to the six lines, the six triangular sectors, and the six points, it is commonly regarded as a symbol of Satan because of the triple six implications of the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. Do with that what you will in regard to why the Rothschilds adopted that as the insignia of the House of Rothschild and its banking system. What does John Hagee think about that in terms of Revelation 13? Maybe we'll ask him sometime. This is Mark Gankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, "A penny saved is a penny earned." By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
We're back. This is Mark Dantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mark Glenn of the American Free Press and Crescent and Cross will be with us at right around 9 a.m. Central to chat about a series of important news stories for the day and for the week. You can find the American Free Press, of course, at AmericanFreePress.net. You can find Mark Glenn's personal website at CrescentandCross.com. That's CrescentandCross.com. I wanted to make reference to a very, very significant article today on 9/11 that you can find at globalresearch.ca. That's Dr. Michael Chosadovsky's site. He is the executive director of the Center for Research on Globalization. He's been on this show before. Very nice gentleman. Always been very gracious to me and very gracious to RBN. And at any rate, his site has a post today by Massimo Mazzucco. For those of you who will understand that I'm not an Italian, I probably have destroyed the pronunciation of that name. Massimo Mazzucco, whose last name is spelled M-A-Z-Z-U-C-C-O. And the title of this piece at globalresearch.ca is 9/11, Major Italian TV Network, Conclusive Evidence That World Trade Center Building 7 Was Demolished With Explosives. And you know what's interesting, folks? Globalresearch.ca, as you can tell by the .ca, is found up in Canada. It'll be very interesting to see what the Israeli lobby up in Canada does with this piece and does with Global Research for having posted it. It begins by saying that we should welcome all foreign readers. Luogo Commune is a news community site, all in Italian thus far, featuring a large separate section on 9/11. In a way, the whole website revolves around the idea that unless that paramount, unacceptable lie called the 9/11 terrorist attacks is removed and put into right perspective, the downward spiral toward this new dark age of humanity will never stop. To us, 9/11 victims are not only the 3,000 people that perished on that day, but also some 650,000 civilians killed in Iraq since the invasion began, 100,000-plus Afghans who've met the same fate in their own country, more than 3,000 U.S. soldiers sent by Dick and Rummy to die under false pretense, and sadly but truly, the ever-increasing number of first responders who were knowingly sent to their death by an administration that could be defined as criminal for this one action alone. It's for them that we fight. Now for some interesting news we wish to share with anyone interested in 9/11 worldwide. On April 16, 2007, a major Italian network, Canale 5, has aired some conclusive evidence that Building 7 did not collapse on its own, but was deliberately taken down with the use of explosives. The piece was part of a larger presentation we provided to the network as an update on the ongoing research on 9/11. In particular, we included a clip we had all seen many times before, but possibly never listened to with the full attention it deserved. Here is the six-minute segment. And then he says, please ignore yellow subtitles. Yes, we all saw that last clip more than once, but each time you must have stopped at the powerful evidence that the blast itself represents while disregarding the ensuing exchange, which in our opinion represents the final nail in the coffin of the official version on WTC Building 7, even without the need to discuss Larry's intentionally ambiguous Pullet statement. Our presentation was broadcast as a rebuttal to a bunch of accusations leveled on the same channel by a group of Italian debunkers against the movie Ignano Globale, produced by this writer and website, which is possibly the flagship for 9/11 Italian truth seekers, being somehow the equivalent to any other major 9/11 movie in English available on the web. Here's the broadcast summary that comes to us today from globalresearch.ca through the auspices then of Massimo Mazzucco. For those who are interested, he says, this is the entire 42-minute presentation that was aired on April 16th by Italian Canale 5, divided in the following five segments. Number one, intro plus military stand down. Number two, Pentagon plus UA-175. Number three, World Trade Center Building 7. Number four, the Twin Towers plus UA-93. And number five, two touching testimonies by W. Rodriguez and David, we were also killed on 9/11 Miller. The narration is in Italian. All of the original interviews are in English. Keeping an eye on the brief summary above each segment, however, may help you grasp the whole thing anyway. Here's his introduction, or here's his summary of part one, the intro plus military stand down. A. After a brief intro into the 9/11 Commission report is presented as the equivalent of the infamous Warren report, in that both commissions openly refused to look at evidence that would compromise in any way the reconciliation of the report with a desired official version. B. The Pandora's box of evidence against the hijackers emerged from the crash site of UA-93, while the very plane is yet to be found, is shown as an example of likely fabricated evidence by the FBI. C. Senator Dayton denounces as lies the NORAD timelines appearing in the report. D. The very heads of the commission, Tom Keene and Lee Hamilton, denounce in a book the Pentagon's untrue statements on their failure to act on 9/11. E. Rumsfeld's intercept procedure change order is paired with the illuminating testimony by Robin Horton of Pilots for 9/11 Truth, resulting in a possible answer on how the military response could have been thwarted without necessarily involving thousands of people in the plot. All it apparently took was for Rummy not to pick up the phone. Part 2, the Pentagon and United Airlines Flight 175. The summary is as follows. A. Italian debunkers are caught in the act of resorting to the cheapest tricks in order to try and cast some doubt on the critics of the Pentagon's official version. B. A 2002 New York Times article is shown, reporting doubts on the authenticity of Hani Hanjour's commercial license, while the alleged hijacker is clearly portrayed as someone who, quote, could not fly at all, unquote. C, a collection of witnesses seeing a somehow smaller plane at the Pentagon is presented, while the fact that the debunkers seem unable to produce a witness speaking of a large plane, quote, unquote, themselves is underlined. D, Danielle O'Brien's testimony on what looked like on their screens like a jet fighter or a fighter jet is presented. E, the idea that it all, that, quote, all it took for the hijackers to fly those planes right into their targets was to set the autopilot systems, unquote, is refuted both by the 330-degree turn by Hani Hanjour before hitting the Pentagon, losing sight of a target you've been so lucky to find in the first place, and by the testimony of the controller who followed UA-175 all the way into New York's harbor, executing maneuvers, quote, you would only see in the movies, unquote. Well, both alleged pilots, as we know, had never flown a jet before in their life, nor had the other two, for that matter. Part 3, WTC Building 7. The same segment you saw above in which A, Danny Jawenko's opinion on WTC-7's collapse is presented as a controlled demolition, quote-unquote, B, a short dip from Mignano Globala, which follows, showing a side-by-side comparison between controlled demolitions and the World Trade Center collapses. C, a possible solution for the apparent mishap by the BBC on the actual collapse of the, quote, Solomon Brothers building, unquote, is suggested. It was CNN's earlier announcement that might have confused them. D, however, a good explanation for such foreknowledge must be found, especially since E, a testimony from a first responder moves that foreknowledge even further up to between noon and 1 o'clock, quote, unquote. F, police are heard clearing the area because, quote, the building is about to blow up, unquote. G, a firefighter is heard commenting, quote, we got to get back, 7 is exploding, unquote, his colleague responding, I know, right after a powerful blast is heard from the streets nearby. Part 4, Twin Towers and United Flight 93. A, Scott Forbes' testimony is presented as a possible answer to the ever-recurring question, quote, how would it have been possible to place tons of explosives in the towers with everybody watching, unquote. By doing it exactly under everyone's eyes, unquote, the answer seems to be. B, debunkers are shown scrambling through the dictionary in their desperate attempt to refute the tons of testimony about explosions in the towers prior and during the collapses. If you translate scopio or pop into English, they maintain you will get explosion, quote unquote. Therefore, it was only pops in terms of what all of these people really heard. Oh boy, here we go. C, the debunker's statement that there is no video actually confirming the sound of explosions, quote unquote, is confuted by the very clip that you saw above, ending with 7 is exploding, quote unquote. D, the debunker's statement that the idea of molten steel is sheer fantasy, quote unquote, is confuted by presenting different clips, including two reports on the meteorite, quote unquote, now stored at the JFK hangar. E, how most of the crucial information about the true reasons for the Twin Towers collapses ended up being sealed in court proceedings is revealed. F, the fact that the debunkers avoided confronting the notion that UA-93 debris was found as far as 8 miles away from the crash site is underlined, while the same fact is presented as definite proof that the plane did not fall in one piece into the infamous empty, quote-unquote, hole. And finally, G, an interesting comment by a former NTSB official suggesting the Let's Roll story is but a nice legend, just like the Alamo, quote-unquote, ends the segment. In Part 5, two testimonies, William Rodriguez, whose name we've come across before in this show, his testimony confirms, among other things, that underground explosions took place in Tower 1 before the collapse, and B, David Miller's condition, which he shares with hundreds of first responders, that, quote, we now live with those buildings in our bodies, unquote, confirms, among other things, that the pulverization of the buildings was too fine to be the result of sheer force of gravity, which is the only force acting in a passive, non-induced structural collapse. This is, of course, all there today at globalresearch.ca under the work of Massimo Mazzucco, entitled 9/11, Major Italian TV Network, Conclusive Evidence that Building 7 was demolished with explosives. This, of course, dovetails with the work of Stephen Jones and Morgan Reynolds. It dovetails with what Dr. Ron Larson has chatted with us about, coming to us from Austin in an earlier time on this show. It underscores what Paul Craig Roberts has been talking about in a number of places on the web, as well as at the American Free Press, that there is a burgeoning amount of scientific data and the data provided by eyewitnesses that does not match the official story. You talk about connecting the dot with something, I think that we can say that we've connected the dots here. You have a certain theme running through the Pearl Harbor attack, a certain series of themes running through the assassination of John Kennedy, certain themes running through the official report of what happened to the USS Liberty, and now, by George, we're running into the same thing again, aren't we, when it comes to 9/11, that there is an official word that has been put out in all of these events that we have been told to believe as gospel truth, not only to believe it, but to demonize those who don't believe it, to impugn their intelligence or their honor or their motives, to say that they're anti-American, to say that they are pro-Islamic theocracy, to say, in effect, that they're anti-Semites, for even breathing the idea that somehow, some way, the official story does not stack up with the truth, and that somehow, some way, this may have been a false flag incident that was designed to point in one direction, but in fact points in a completely different direction once we begin to examine the evidence. This brings us full circle again to the Global Anti-Semitism Act of 2004 and the 14 things that it desires to criminalize in regard to free speech. If you look at this act, which Mr. Bush signed into law again on October the 16th, 2004, there is one thing that kind of leaps out at us, point number 14. It is deemed to be anti-Semitic, according to the Global Anti-Semitism Review Act, to make any allegations of Israeli or Israeli Mossad involvement in the 9/11 attack. You know, if that is such a ludicrous idea, why is our government scrambling to define this as anti-Semitism and to place people who are suggesting such a thing under official scrutiny as those who are subversives against the American Republic? After all, this is the same Global Anti-Semitism Review Act that in point 7 says that it's anti-Semitic to place any blame on Jewish leaders and their followers for inciting the Roman crucifixion of Jesus Christ. In that regard, then, all of the biblical gospels in the New Testament are anti-Semitic, as well as all of the epistles of Paul and Peter and John, as well as John's Apocalypse. Because in each and every case, when you go through the entirety of the 27-book New Testament corpus, it becomes abundantly clear that that is the witness, that is the testimony of the apostles of Christ in regard to what happened. Are they anti-Semites? Are you an anti-Semite if you read the New Testament and believe its testimony? According to the Global Anti-Semitism Review Act of October the 16th, 2004, signed by President Bush, you are. And if you doubt the official story on 9/11, you are, in fact, an anti-Semite, according to this Global Anti-Semitic Review Act of, again, October the 16th, 2004. This then leads me to something else that I want to take a couple of minutes looking at. This post is a number of days old. It's over a week old now. It goes back to April the 24th. I have posted it at Breaking All the Rules News on the front page. And it comes from the British Guardian, and it's written by Naomi Wolf. And she entitles this piece, Fascist America in 10 Easy Steps. Fascist America in 10 Easy Steps. She talks about the fact that last autumn there was a military coup in Thailand. The leaders of the coup took a number of steps rather systematically as if they had a shopping list. In a sense, they did. Within a matter of days, according to Naomi Wolf, democracy had been closed down. The coup leaders declared martial law. They sent armed soldiers into residential areas. They took over radio and TV stations. They issued restrictions on the press, tightened some limits on travel, and took certain activists into custody. And she argues that when it comes to the model of Thailand, that George Bush and his administration seem to be following on cue in regard to steps that they're taking, she would argue, to make sure that that same type of a police state ends up becoming an actual reality in this country. In other words, there are patterns, certain steps that any would-be dictator has to take to destroy constitutional freedoms. She mentions in the summary, beginning paragraph of the story, who some of these folks are. But she indicates that she believes that George Bush and his administration are taking them all. What are these things? She indicates first and foremost that they're not figuring these things out as they go along. If you look at history, there is essentially a blueprint for turning an open society into a dictatorship. It's very easy to do if you can simply take the 10 steps that she lists. Again, keeping in mind that she believes that this is happening beneath our very noses, quote unquote, that George Bush and his administration are using time-tested tactics to close down an open society. Number one of the 10 that she lists, invoke a terrifying internal and external enemy. She says that after we were hit on September the 11th, 2001, we were in a state of national shock. Less than 6 weeks later, on October 26th, 2001, the USA Patriot Act was passed by a Congress that had little chance to debate it. Many said that they had scarcely enough time to read it. We'll be back. This is Mark Anthos, America, coming live from Public Broadcasting Network from San Antonio, Texas. Mark Glenn will be with us.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Zionist plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is a Zionist and how Congress is controlled by the Zionists. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
I started out down a dirty road. Started out all alone.
We're back. This is Mark Ancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mark Glenn will be with us at a little bit after 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time. Mark, of course, represents both the American Free Press as well as Crescent and Cross. We have a caller, Melissa from Texas. Go ahead, Melissa.
Good morning, Mark.
Hi.
I was going all the way back to when you were talking about the hexagram.
Okay.
I have a book here called Masonic and Occult Symbols Illustrated by Kathy Burns, Dr. Kathy Burns.
Okay.
And there's a whole chapter on the hexagram. And it is it's found in all kinds of dark magic. It is used as a standby for magicians and alchemists. The sorcerers believed it represented the footprint of a special kind of demon called a trud, T-R-U-D, or trud. And it is used in ceremonies both to call up demons and to keep them away. Former Satanist Bill Schneblin reminds us, to the sorcerer, the hexagram is a powerful tool to invoke Satan. A hexagram must be present to call a demon forth. In fact, the word hex comes from this very emblem. It's also, from what I can tell, it's a type of a triskelion or a triskelet.
Okay.
And that is that 666 symbol. And from looking at this stuff a little bit, it seems that even though they change the shape, like the original pattern holds a meaning and a power, according to these sorcerers, and even though they change the shape and disguise it, it still holds its initial power. And I think I got that from a thing on Enigma TV on the Internet. You can go to... what was it? It was Illuminati 2, Enigma TV, on, I think it's Google Video, I believe. Anyway, it's all very, very dark magic is what this comes down to. And it's the two triangles are the as above, so below. You know, you have the one pointing up and the one pointing down.
Yes.
And all of this comes back to this 666, and another place that people can look at this would be you can go to the Freeman Perspective on the Internet. I think he also calls it freemantv.com, and he's not a Christian, but this man is quite a researcher. His parents were high-level grandmaster, something of the lodge, and he does a lot of work with corporate logos and hidden symbols and how they cast.
I'm gonna take a break, but stay on the line, Melissa. I'd like to come back to you when we finish.
Okay.
Stay on the line. This is Mark Ancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with further conversation with Melissa on the whole subject of the hexagram. And then at some point, we'll have Mark Glenn on from the American Free Press. Stay tuned.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners.